Hey, welcome to Monday Post, the post Sunday post sermon recap podcast from Normandale. It's Mason, and so glad you're tuned in with me. So the podcast is not going to be, or it's going to be kind of abbreviated today, not that long. I don't feel like I have just a ton to add to the sermon yesterday, but there's a few things that I think are kind of helpful, or maybe helpful. So, and then some behind the scenes things. So we finished up 1 John. Technically, actually, we didn't finish 1 John. Since we did it thematically, I wasn't hitting every single word in it. And I kind of reached a point where I was just like, you know what? I just want to move on. And so I felt led to move on to something else. And so I was thinking about, what do I want to talk about? And as we were heading towards Thanksgiving, I was like, I want to deal with things that are kind of thoughts of the heart, and you know, things of like Thanksgiving and or like prayer and giving thanks. And so I went and I was looking in the room 100, and we were in there, and I thought about, oh wait, let's do that text. Let's talk about like rejoice always and give thanks and pray from 1 Thessalonians. And I went in there and saw that David and I was leading his class to memorize those verses. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. We'll do those texts for the next couple of weeks. And I feel like it really ties in really well with Thanksgiving, or heading towards Thanksgiving, and just had a time to be grateful. And so I was like, yeah, that'd be perfect for us. And so, yeah, I just felt led to kind of go this way. And so that's why we went this direction into 1 Thessalonians. Now, as I read the book 1 Thessalonians, I'm reminded of how much I really like the book. And so in the future, I may come back and walk through the book, because the story of the message of the book is really great, because Paul tells the gospel to the people in Thessalonica, and they really get it. They really believe the gospel, and they really follow Christ, and they're passionate about it, and they have joy with it. They love one another, and they're an example to all the other Christians all around. And so it's a really like good book to read and get into, because it's just people who are living the Christian life really well, and it's encouraging to read. And so we'll get back into it someday, not this year or next, because we're going to begin Revelation beginning in this coming spring semester. But one day we'll get back into it. But for this time, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be in these three verses in chapter 5. So rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so this is kind of a sweet message, a good thing for you and me. One, to just to be encouraged in terms of our outlook on the world. And so rejoice always is what we talked about yesterday. And so, as I said in the sermon, joy is something that's pretty difficult to define. But when I got home from church yesterday, I sat down for dinner for lunch, and I was like, I told Dara, I was like, wait, I think I just came up with a good definition for what it is, for what joy is. And Dara's like literally just now. I was like, yeah, it's a shame I just finished preaching a sermon about it, because I finally figured out how to define it, at least in a way that I think I'm satisfied with. And so joy is faith or your hope in Christ expressed through your emotions. And so I think that's where I'm going to land. I think that's what I'm satisfied with, is faith is your confidence or your hope in Christ expressed in your emotions. And so when you see it that way, when you hear of it, that being the defining message of what joy is, then you're like, oh, wait, then I can live that out regardless of my circumstance. Like whether it's a happy day or it's a sad day where my whole family's sick or I just got rear-ended, you know, the spectrum of events of how your day can go, you can still experience joy in those times through your emotions. Through your faith in Christ, like being played out in your emotions. And so your emotions aren't bad. They are part of you. And so when Christ comes into your life, he wants to affect every part of you, including your emotions. And so joy takes that and says, we are going to run your emotions through the tunnel, or through the conduit of your faith in Christ, and let that begin to affect then how you respond to your world, be it through excitement, like positive feelings or contentment. All those are expressions of an internal joy in Christ. So I think that's where I'm landing on that. I think that's good. Now, we ended it with a psalm, Psalm 112. And there's actually, the word joy, I don't believe, is actually in the psalm. He begins this with, "Hallelujah, happy is the person who fears the Lord." But I think there you can get, there's synonyms. I think you can make it work there. In fact, all my research stuff was in the Greek in the New Testament. I didn't actually go and research which words in the Hebrew are used for joy or the spectrum of what joy could mean. And so maybe this is one of those. I don't really know. But regardless, happy in the Old Testament is if it's not the word joy, it's a synonym for it. And so he says, "Hallelujah, happy is the person who fears the Lord, taking great delight in his commands. His descendants will be powerful in the land, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light shines in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, compassionate, and righteous. Good will come to the one who lends generously and conducts his business fairly. He will never be shaken." These 6, 7, and 8 are really great for me. So like I think they can be really, really helpful. This is actually a good song to memorize if you deal with like worry a lot or kind of anxiety. I'm not saying this is going to fix all of your problems, but I think it there's something about these verses that can reassure your heart in moments. And when you feel anxious, or you can begin to worry, you can have the Spirit bring these verses to mind. Psalm 112, verses 6, 7, and 8. Here's what they say. It says, "He will never be shaken. The righteous one will be remembered forever. He will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. His heart is assured. He will not fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes." And I love those verses. I think of verse 7 specifically almost every night. He will not fear bad news. Why can the person who's happy in the Lord, who fears the Lord and takes great delight in his commands, why can that person not fear bad news? It's because of where his trust is. His trust is in the God who governs all things, is in control of all things. And if he is good, and if he's in control of all things, and we trust him, then what happens in the future is in his hands, and we don't have to worry about it. And so that is joy expressed in someone's life, in someone's emotions, saying, "I'm not going to worry in this moment, but instead I'm going to rest, I'm going to be confident in the Lord." And so, I just think that psalm is really, really great. I think about it a lot. I'll do a sermon on it one time in the future, but that's just kind of a tidbit I think that would be helpful. Now, looking ahead to next week, we are going to talk about the next verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, so verse 17, which is going to be pray constantly. So we're going to end, hopefully not the call is like to make you feel like there is this ocean of prayer that's ahead of you that you should be doing, but you just aren't doing it. I don't want you to come away discouraged. I want you to come away deeply encouraged and excited to go to the Lord in prayer. And so in light of the sermon text, what we're going to be talking about, we are actually going to have an extended prayer time during the service. And so how we typically do at the beginning, where it's about 5 minutes long, where we pray, we are going to extend that out during the service and make it longer to make prayer an emphasis for our service this Sunday. And so I think it'll be pretty cool for us. And so one thing that you can do to help prepare your heart to be in tune with the Spirit, say, "Man, I want to hear from God. I want to be involved. I want to come and like feel and be there, really have an impact on my heart and like what we're doing." There's two things you can do. One is you can pray before you come, and just ask God to prepare your heart to be able to hear from Him and to be ready to speak and pray to Him. And another thing you can do is you can fast. Now, what that means is traditionally it means you take a break. You don't eat a meal. And so it could be breakfast that morning, or it could be don't eat the day before, like multiple meals, or it can be something else. You take a fast from another thing, I'm gonna leave my phone at home intentionally on purpose. I'm gonna put it in another room to where on Sunday morning I wake up, my phone's not there, and I will not touch my phone until I get back from church. And so there's other ways you can fast if you have dietary restrictions or some kind of medical history to where you're like, "Man, I just can't fast, like taking away food from my body. There's other things you can do in order to prepare your heart to be able to hear from God. It's just taking something out of your normal routine. And when you think about that thing, then you use that as a reminder then to turn to God. And so that's something you can do heading into this Sunday to say, man, I really want to hear from God this week. And so I'm going to take one meal away, or I'm going to take breakfast away that morning, or I'm going to take my phone away that morning. And instead, use that as a reminder that God is where my hope is. God is where I should be filling myself up with. So, yeah. Now, another note about our church is we did announce two new elder candidates yesterday, Paul Wynn and Jared Simpson. And so we're really excited about these guys. Paul is coming; would be coming on for his second go-around as an elder. He's already done it for 6 years. He rolled off for a mandatory sabbatical, according to our bylaws. Now we want to bring him back on. And we think he is a premier candidate. Likewise with Jared. We firmly believe, this dude is awesome. He's solid. We want him to be an elder with us. He's been a pastor here for 5-6 years. And so how this works is we're going to vote on them on December the 4th as a church. Now, that gives you 3 weeks to come and express excitement or concerns to any of the other elders concerning either one of those guys. So be sure to let us know. And if you are excited about them, give both of those men just encouragement as they begin to move forward, hopefully, into stepping into being an elder here at Normandale. Last note, just in case you care, today is the beginning of the Southern Baptists of Texas Convention, which is the Texas arm of the Southern Baptist Convention that we at Normandale associate with. Not that we are like anti-BGCT. We're not like we don't hate those guys or anything. We just are associated or aligned with the SBTC. And their annual meeting begins today in Corpus Christi. And it's actually kind of a cool. I usually go every year. I'm not this year. It's just pretty far down there in Corpus. My whole family is sick right now. And plus, I didn't want to really spend the money to get down there. But it's usually a cool time in which Southern Baptist churches in Texas come together for worship and prayer and discuss resolutions and things that we are committed to as a unified group of churches. We talk about mission a lot. We talk about evangelism a lot. And so it's actually a really cool time and really encouraging time for churches to be able to go and talk with one another. And so if you have a bad image of like SBC conventions or anything like that, the image you have in your mind is not what actually takes place at these things. It is a really encouraging and really cool environment to be a part of. It's just a lot of worship and a lot of evangelism talk, a lot of preaching. And so those are cool times. I will go next year when it's closer up here to home, but not this year. Anyways, that's what's happening for today and tomorrow in the SBTC at large. So thanks for being with me this morning, I'll see you guys on Wednesday, then again on Sunday. Now, as a reminder, our churchwide Thanksgiving meal is this coming Sunday, so please come, invite your family, invite your friends, and bring a side or a dessert with you. And it'll be at 5 p.m. in the church, up here at the church. And then Wednesday night activities the week of Thanksgiving. So that would be the 23rd, I believe. I'm not looking at a calendar. 23rd. There are no Wednesday night activities on that night, which is the day before Thanksgiving. So, yeah. Well, hey, see you guys Wednesday this week. And then again on Sunday. I'll see you later.